Hello, thank you for being here to learn today on Chaf Zayin Shvat, Tafshin Pei Dalet, February 6, 2024. And before we continue in the Orchos Tzadikim, I decided to examine a couple of sources, Makoros, in the Gemara that we have possibly looked at before, but we're going to reflect on again. First of all, sometimes we need a Yeshua, and it could be having to do with health or parnasa or relationships. And we have to remember the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Beis. Amalei Rava, the Rabba Bar Mori. Rava said to Rava, the son of Mori. Minah HaMilsa. But where do we know the following? The Amar Rabbanan that the Chachamim said, Kol HaMavakesh Rachmim Al Chavera. Anybody who asks for compassion for his friend, anybody who davens for someone else, Behut Tzorich Le'oso Davar, and he is in need of that same salvation, you know what it's about to say. Hu nena tchila. He is answered first. So right away, it gives one pause. If I have a crisis, chas v'shalom, I'm going through something. I need a salvation. I need a Yeshua. I know someone else who also has something similar, or maybe not even the same exact situation. I daven for that person. What happens is when I daven for that person, I will be answered first, even it says. And we learn it out. Amalei, he said, how do I know it? It's written in Eov Membeis, Hashem Shav Es Shavus Eov. Hashem returned the captivity of Eov. Now, it wasn't actually captivity. It was the fortunes and everything he had lost. Remember, we said Eov is the story of every person. Every person suffers. That's the popular opinion of the Gemara, the Rambam likes. But at the end, Hashem restored everything he had lost, and it says, B'hispalalo ba'adre ehu. Because of the fact, the Mitzuda explains, that he had davened for each of his friends. Because he had davened for each of his friends, Hashem saved him. So I can go ahead and daven right now for anybody, even if I don't have a specific name, generically, whoever is suffering this crisis that I'm in right now, I can daven for those people to all be saved, to be delivered. And according to this Gemara, based on the Pasuk in Eov, based on the Mitzuda, the way he explains it, Hashem will definitely answer my tefillah. And not only that, I'll even be answered first. Amalei. So he said back to him, Rabba Bar Mori, to Rava, At Amrat Mehasim. You said from there is the source. But I have a different source. I have a pasuk in Chumash. Va'ana Amina. And I will say Mehacha from here. That's in Bereishis Perikof. Va'yispalel Avraham Elhu Elokim. And Avraham daven to Hashem. Do you remember when Avimelech had kidnapped Sarah? So Avraham davened for Avimelech after he returned Sarah. He davened for him and his household that they shouldn't be ill anymore because Hashem had afflicted them, had plagued them. So when Avraham davened, and it says, Vashem pokadeh Sarah kasher amar. Because the ailment, the disorder that the ladies had suffered in the house of Avimelech was infertility. So when Avram davened for them, it says Avraham was saved. Hashem remembered, visited upon Sarah a salvation, Kasher Omar, and the pasuk, as we're going to see, indicates it's in the Zechus that Avram had davened for whom, by the way? For Avimelech, someone who kidnapped his wife. Yes, true, ostensibly it was Avraham's sister, as we know in the story. Avraham had said that to save his life. But still, the Gemara says he was a very immoral person. But Avraham davened for him. Avraham saw hope in every single person, which we're going to talk about next. How every single person is a whole world, regardless of the person's religion, especially Yidden. Every person is an olam mole. So Avram davened for that person, Avimelech, kasher Omar Avraham el Avimelech. So the thing is that, what's this pasuk saying? As Rav Baruch Levi Epstein explains, it's a kefel lashon. It's double. Hashem pakad es Sarah, and Hashem remembered, he visited salvation upon Sarah, Kasher Omar, the way he had said, Bayas Kasher Diber, and he did as he spoke. What are these two terminologies for speaking? Belashon Echad Musav al Avraham. one of them is referring to Avraham, meaning it's not both referring to Hashem. Hashem pakad asara kasher amar. Hashem remembered Sarah as he had said, Bayas kasher diber, and he did as he spoke. One of those lashonos is referring to Avraham having spoken. Avraham had been the one who had davened. Because Avraham had davened, that's why Hashem did as Hashem had promised, that Sarah would have children. So that shows us that when we daven for someone else, it says this person, who nene techila, the person is answered first, for sure is answered, but is actually even answered first. And there's another Gemara, actually a Mishnah that I was reviewing in Sanhedrin. So just like, and we'll tie it together, just like a human being is an olam mali, is a full world, every person, as gloomy as it might look, as dismal as things might look, chas v'shalom, we have such ups and downs that are so dramatic, we have to remember that we're here for a purpose. If we're still here, we're a whole world. Just like Avraham davened for Avimelech, he saw the value in every human being and the potential, and also not just the potential, but the accomplishments the person has already achieved. So if you look, we know the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, "Lefichach kol echad ve'echad chayav lomar." Every single person has to say, "Bishvili nivra ha'olam," that the entire world was created for me. This is in the middle of the discussion where witnesses come and try to testify that someone committed a capital offense. And in doing so, the judges in the Sanhedrin interrogate and they cross-examine, and they also remind the witnesses about the value of every human life, every world, which is what every human life is, and that those witnesses had better be careful not to convict somebody, not to testify if it's not true. And in the middle of that Mishnah, parts of it are the actual dialogue of the judges to the witnesses, and parts of it are the Mishnah telling us about the value of human life. Either way, the Mishnah does not say that a person is allowed to believe that the world was created for my sake. That would make it sound optional or like a privilege. It doesn't say that. It says, Chayav Lomar, Bishvili Nivra Olam. It's imperative for our existence to keep moving, to keep being productive, to keep thriving. I have to realize the whole world was created for me. That's why Adam was created alone. One human being was created in the beginning, just one, because that just one person, the whole world was for him. That's the same with every person. And as the Eitz Yosef points out, what's the point in thinking this? What does it help? By the way, what does it have to do with bitachon? Very simple. We know that we're learning about emuna, which leads to bitachon, which leads to simcha, which is the ultimate emotion of joy. Many times people feel the opposite sentiment. They feel despair. Sometimes they feel like giving up, or like there's no point when things are so challenging. Things seem to be happening one after another or simultaneously. But this Mishnah tells us, what do you mean? You need to realize, not that you are allowed to realize, a person needs to realize, Vishvili Nivra Ha'olam, there were things that I could do that nobody else could do. That should create a warm feeling in my heart and also should bring me to joy, because I realize my life is not pointless. It actually is very purposeful. As the Anaf Yosef, the Eitz Yosef explains in this Gemara, Chashav Ani Ka'olam Male. Every single person who's here, who's alive, is as important, is as significant as a whole world. So the Eitz Yosef says, isn't this arrogance though? Oh, I'm the whole world. Chashav ani ka'olam mali. Oh, isn't that conceitedness? That a person thinks that the whole world was created for me? That sounds really self-centered and egotistical. But no, the Eitz Yosef tells us, Zetzarech el ha'avoda. A person needs this thought to be able to move forward in life, to do the Vodas Hashem. The person needs to think, the world was created for me, that all that I do, all that I learned, all the service I did to Hashem until now, compared to what I have ahead of me, is very small. I have so much left I could do. This should bring us joy when we have a purpose. When we have a calling, then we have joy. Then we have ecstasy because we have a purpose. We have a destination. A person should think, I'm just beginning. No matter how old I am, I'm just beginning now. I wake up in the morning, I'm just beginning. Well, yesterday was hard. It's hard to wake up. Things are challenging. Yeah, but I have everything starting now. My whole world is ahead of me. That's why we don't know how long we'll be here. We assume we'll continue to be here longer and longer, as it says in Koheles. Gamesa olam nasan beliba. Ha'olam is spelled helem, hidden, Rashi explains in Koheles. It's hidden when we'll be here and when we won't. So we assume we're going to be here a very long time in Yetz Hashem. So therefore, as long as I'm here, I can do more. Therefore, what will happen to a person who thinks this way? A person will endeavor with all of his or her strength in Torah and mitzvos, as if, I'll read you the Lashon, ki'ilu rak olav ha'olam omed. The world just stands on this person, the whole world. And you might say, this is an absolute, obvious exaggeration, isn't it? Actually, no, because what I can do in this world, nobody else can. I have a unique function and purpose, and I have an agenda that Hashem has given me that I'm supposed to try to follow, but no one else can do it. Nobody can replicate it. No one can duplicate it. Behu Makaimo, each person actually keeps the world going, because the world will be missing something without me. That means I'm needed here. So I have to feel useful and special. Therefore, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep working. If I just stay focused the best I can, of course, taking meaningful breaks and vacations when needed, that's also part of Avodas Hashem, then I will have energy. I'll have enthusiasm. I'll have purpose. I'll put everything into it, my heart and soul. Ki harbe mutl alav, says the Eitz Yosef. There's a lot of every person needs to do. A malach hamruah, there's plenty of work ahead. Therefore, if a person understands this, that all of his actions and all of his statements, all of his words and his thoughts, osim roshem bishmei hashamayim, cosmic effect of every single word I say, every thought that I entertain, every action that I do, has a global effect on all the world. That's how powerful I am. Not to be conceited and to think I'm better than others. No, it's to realize the actual opposite, that I have to be humbled by my task, and that I have so much I can and will accomplish. Then what will happen is the person will feel enthused and inspired to do more. And the person can be gorem shefa ubracha rabba b'chol ha'olamos kulam. Isn't that a gratifying thought, that every person can cause bountiful blessing in all of the worlds? Yilhav libo v'asiyas ha'mitzvah, says the Eitz Yosef. A person's heart will be kindled for the doing of mitzvos ad ein shir, so there's no limit. And to be as careful as I can, with rov ava, not in a bland, unenthusiastic way, but in a passionate way, in an energized fashion. And that person who realizes, I need to know that the world was created for me, and there are things that I'm the only one who can do so much, then that person will thrive and flourish and progress in Avodas Hashem. That's why a person not just is allowed to say Bishvila Nivra Ha'olam, but actually needs to say Bishvila Nivra Ha'olam. It reminds me of how the Vad started, remember? Where it says, Lo Sira Mehem, not supposed to be afraid. And Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva tells us it's not just speaking to soldiers on a battlefield, Kipshuto, according to the simplest meaning, even though that's what the Pasuk in Parshas Shoftim is talking about. The Rabbeinu Yonah says it is extended to all difficulties that we face, all challenges, lo sira. And it's not something that the Torah is trying to tell us, you don't need to be afraid. You should not be afraid. You're not supposed to be afraid. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah explains it. And it, in case anybody's not sure, just look at the number of Achronim who explain the Rabbeinu Yonah that way. They bring him down and quote him. He actually says it in his words. It's all the hardships we face in life. Lo sira mehem, don't be afraid. It's also not something, a privilege. It's more than just a privilege. It's a necessity. Don't be afraid. If I say to myself, I'm not supposed to be afraid. I'm not allowed to be afraid. I know a person might say, oh, what do you mean? I'm human. I'm going to be afraid. I understand. We know that already. We're supposed to try our best to realize that Hashem does not want us to be fearing anything. All the things that we go through, we're not supposed to be afraid. We go back in the Aruch HaTzaddikim, and on that note about trepidation and apprehension, the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us about the many tasks we're supposed to do in life. Hashem has assigned us. The Omer, it says in Koheles, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudches, Tov Asher Techos Bazeh. It's good that you'll grab onto this. V'gam Mizeh Al Tanach Es Yodecha. But also from this, do not rest your hand. Remember what we're talking about? We said that there are two avodos. We have avodas HaTorah and avodaso. We have worldly tasks to do. We have mundane jobs to do. We take care of physical, material needs in this world. That's one part of our purpose. We're partners in the physical world, in the Maisa Bereshis. And then, of course, we have avodas HaTorah, which is the pure spiritual endeavor that we've been assigned in this world. And we have to realize that we're supposed to be involved in both of them and that one shouldn't cause a loss to the other one. Mitzarech, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, a person needs sheyiftach b'Hashem yisparach. A person needs to trust in Hashem, blessed be He, sheyatzlichehu ba'asokav, that Hashem will make him successful in his endeavors. We need to realize, I'm going to work hard, but I have to implement and activate that bitachon piece. A person needs to trust in Hashem, that Hashem will make him successful. But one should not place his trust on his work and his endeavors. Don't say, I trust in my efforts. I trust in my job, in my position. That is not what I place my bitachon in. Ach. Rather, yachshov, but a person should think, asher malachto va'asakov, that his work and his undertakings, heim derech lefarnasaso, they are the path, they are the catalyst for his livelihood, for his income, me'eis Hashem yisporach, from Hashem. I know this sounds repetitive because the Mesilas Yesharim talks about it, and we learned it in the Mesilas Yesharim in different words. When we hear the same ideas from different vantage points, different angles, from different very holy authors in Sfarim, then it reinforces and assures us and secures the thoughts with us in our souls, in our intellect. So he's saying what the Sfarim keep telling us, that our position, our job, everything that's in the middle, those are all catalysts, those are methods, but that's not what we trust in. Now it gives us a mushel. The analogy is a person who is chopping wood with an axe. Even though the axe is cutting the wood, the strength cannot be attributed to the iron. You don't say, if you see someone chopping wood, whoa, there is a brilliant chunk of metal over there. Look at that metal. It's slicing right through the wood. Oh, wow. No, it's not the iron that's doing it. Ella min ha'ish habokea babarzel. It's the man who's chopping the wood with the axe, which has a wooden handle and an iron head at the end. That's the axe part. Lachtoch bo ha'etz, to cut the wood with it. Well, that's the same thing, that we don't trust in the job that we have. We don't trust in human beings. We trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sends them as messengers, as agents, and he sends methods and medicines as instruments for salvation. But Hashem is the one who sends it all. The Adam Sheyesh Lo Malacha, a person who has a job, whatever position, whatever livelihood, whatever career the person has, with which this person supports his family, his or her family, lo yachshov, the person should not think, lule hamalacha hahi, if not for that work, he would be lost. Oh, I'd be lost without this job. I would be done for. Chas v'shalom. No. We're not supposed to think that. Ach yiftach baborei isporach. Rather, a person should only be trusting in Hashem. The Yachshav, he should think, Im lo hoya inyan zeh ha'esek she'osek bo, if he did not have this job, this career that the person is busy with, Habora yisparach mamsilo, Hashem provides for sure for him, parnasaso, his income, the inyan acher, in some other way. There's a job out there for me. There's a means to the end of having enough parnasa, enough income. It might not be this. Of course, if something is working, we're not supposed to just discard it and say, well, Hashem will take care of me. If Hashem sends us something, which might be a job that's viable and it makes sense, we're supposed to hold on to it. But we shouldn't think, if not for this, I would be a goner. No, because then we're trusting in the job. We have to trust in Hashem, who holds all those employment opportunities for us. Because all of the actions of a person's hands, utzrochim, and all of a person's needs, they're all in the hand of Hashem. What are these needs that a person has? Yes, we think needs. Oh yes, shelter, it's clothing, it's food. It's also yishuv das. That's also a need. A person needs yishuv das. A person is allowed to ask Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, please help me. Give me yishuv das. Give me peace of mind, because I need to function with peace of mind. Now, a person might say, well, it's galus, right? We don't deserve to have peace of mind in galus. I mentioned to you the Gemara Makos before. Moshe Rabbeinu was of that persuasion. He said, uva goyim ha'hem lo sargia. You will not rest when you're among the nations. If you're not with the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, with autonomy, you will have no rest. Moshe Rabbeinu, on his level, according to the Gemara, said, you know, you're up to that. That's supposed to be a deterrent to stop us from doing Averos that would cause the galus. But the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu gazar gzeira. Moshe decreed a decree that we would have no respite, no tranquility in galus. Uva Navi Ubitzla, the Gemara says. The Navi came and nullified. Now, Chas v'Shalom, a Navi, a prophet, cannot nullify any halachos in general, except for temporary rulings, Harah Asrah, which we know about very, very rarely. But decrees having to do with Hashkafa and our existence and our fate, that a Navi could nullify by davening and saying, Ribono shel Olam, it's too much for Klal Yisrael. So you know the Gemara Makos says that Moshe decreed, Uva goyim ha'hem lo sargia, you will have no rest. You won't have any tranquility and serenity in galus. And the Navi came and said, Haloch l'hargio Yisrael. No, B'nai Yisrael, go. The Jewish people can go and have some serenity. We need a breath. We need to have some relief, even in galus. That's what the Navi davened. And the Gemara says that the Navi who said that, the prophet, nullified the decree of Moshe. So we're allowed to say to Hashem, that shows you that on a national level, Klal Yisrael needs a break. And we're allowed to ask for serenity and tranquility. We know that we want Mashiach to come and we want to live in Eretz Yisrael. We're not trying to say that we want to be in galus forever. We're trying to say that we're allowed to request some peace of mind in galus, even in galus, until the time of the ultimate salvation comes. Well, that's for the nation. And individuals, of course, can ask for that. That's tzrachav. If a person has a need, can say, Ribono shel Olam, my mind is upset. I'm uptight. I'm scared. Please, Hashem, give me yishuv das. That's also a tzorach for a person. Just like the Gemara says, it's a need for Klal Yisrael and for a community. There are many agents that Hashem has to send who will bring us our needs, but those are all agents. They're all coming from Hashem. Now we have a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. We know there was a great tzaddik named Yonathan ben Shaul, who was the dear, dear friend of David HaMelech. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yudalad, pasuk Vav. What did Yonathan say to his weapon bearer? I'm going to talk a little bit about this in a little bit of length. Ki ein l'Hashem matzor l'hoshia, because Hashem has no limitation. There are no constraints to Hashem to save. Berav ovi ma'at, with a lot, with many, or with few, with a little. What does that mean? Hashem does not need a certain size army to win. Hashem doesn't need a certain commodities and and materials and volumes of whatever it is to help a person prevail and persevere and be happy. Hashem could do it with nothing. What was the example? This might sound familiar, because the first few sessions of the Vod are from the Chafetz Chaim's Machne Yisrael. We know that he wrote a sefer for the soldiers who were conscripted into the Polish or the Russian army, wherever they were, called Machne Yisrael, the camp of Israel, the Jews out as soldiers on the battlefield. And in that sefer, that pamphlet, he has a section about bitachon. And if you were here for the first many weeks of it, this is what we were learning. And in there, the Chafetz Chaim actually elaborates on this pasuk. And this is the last segment we're going to look at today. What did Yonatan ben Shaul mean when he said to his weapon bearer that Hashem has no limitations, Hashem has no limit, no constraints, no impediment to save, with a lot or with a little? As the Chafetz Chaim says, "V'chein muchach b'chama makomos b'divrei hanaviim." It's clear in many places in the words of the prophets, "She'ikar hatzalas nefesh ha'adam," that the main rescue, the main salvation of a person's life, beit ha'milchama, at the time of war, and other tzaros, as Rabbeinu Yonah had said, "Bis gabro al oivav," and overpowering one's adversaries, one's enemies, either literally or figuratively, all those factors and the crises in life that pose a challenge to us. Taloi begodol hischaskus koach bitchon of Hashem. It all depends on the greatness of the strengthening of the power of his trust in Hashem. And here's the pasuk the Aruch HaTzaddikim quoted. I am using the Chafetz Chaim because he speaks at a little bit of length, so just we get the flavor of what was happening in that battle against the Plishtim. Just like we found with the words of Yonatan, the son of Shaul, Shehu, the Nose Caleb, that he and his weapon bearer, how many people is that? Two. No more than two. The Atzma themselves, Natsu es Iker HaMilchama, they won. They were victorious. The main battle was with the two of them alone. What was the beginning of what Yonatan said to his weapon bearer? It was rak b'midas bitachon, only with the trait of bitachon, with trusting in Hashem, and that brought him the salvation. And the Pelishtim somehow panicked, melted, fled. It was chaos, pandemonium. And then the Bnei Israel were able to look and see, look, the Pelishti army is melting away. All you have to do is look in that parak in Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph Parak Yudalid, and we'll end off with this. As the Aruch HaTzaddikim had quoted, Ukemosha Amar, Ki ein ma'atzor la'Hashem lo'oshia b'rav ovimot. Nothing holds Hashem back to save, with a lot or with a little, with a large army or a small one. What is the crucial factor? It's the bitachon. As the Aruch HaTzaddikim told us, as the Chafetz Chaim is echoing here, we're allowed to have that type of bitachon. We're allowed to say, I trust you, Hashem. I trust in you that you're going to save me from this or that. This is how they're defining the bitachon. The Aruch HaTzaddikim, and then the Chafetz Chaim is following in those footsteps as he explains what happened with Yonatan. And Mir Tzachem will continue next time as the Aruch HaTzaddikim gives us more examples of the fact that Hashem is the deciding factor. He's the one, and everything else in the middle are agents and methods that Hashem sends us. Hope everyone have a beautiful week full of emunah, bitachon, and simcha. Thank you.